Lazy.
Did a little bit of paperwork, and that's all I did.
A little bit of paperwork. What an attitude. Look at that. We were talking about good attitudes before you came in. You get the trophy today.
Well, yesterday was a great day.
Letters
from Viking went up to Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Excellent.
We had 30-some in our group, and
had
a ball.
Nice.
Wow. Is that an organized group? Is it?
Yeah, we walk every Wednesday.
Are you kidding? That's a real name.
Yeah, it's Three Peaks in the Mount Hood Wilderness.
I didn't know that.
You know where Mirror Lake is?
Yeah, I think I do.
And I'm trying to think of your
baby's name. It's just, you keep going past Mirror Lake.
McKenna, that's
and
right.
And Three Peaks are right above Mirror Lake. And then you look down on Mirror Lake. And
one last weekend.
Hood, and you're up,
1,200
feet. I knew it had to have been getting close. I was thinking about all that. And it's funny how when you don't see kids.
You know, and right here at the top is kind of like Mount St. John's. You get here at the top. And the ground gets a little more.
So he reminds me because.
Unstable.
Jake stays the age.
You know, you make that. A week from Saturday, we're going to do Pacific Crest Trail from Timberline to Zigzag. And
Those are
the longer one will go to Paradise Park, but I'm not. I'm just doing the shorter one.
Hey, Rich, you ever been to Dog Mountain?
No, but one of the members of my group leads it every other year. They go out there. That's a toughie.
That's straight up. Yeah, right, yeah.
Starts in the parking lot.
Let's go ahead and get started. Do you agree, Anita, that's the best method of approach to go through?
No, we can go ahead and do our updates.
Okay. So, okay. Do you need us to go through roll call to get into the record, or...
I've got everybody.
You have everybody? Thank you. Okay, so review of minutes. Did everybody get a chance to take a look at the minutes? I noticed on page 2, second to last line, or the second last bullet, identify, and instead of purse, I assume it's supposed to be pursue. And then on the fourth page, Senator Brandon Dick to state representative. Twice.
Doesn't sound like an error to me.
Anybody else with anything? Well, we cannot make a recommendation, but we'll set that aside.
Actually, you can, because I just look.
Oh, because it doesn't need a...
Based upon who's here, you have an interest.
Oh, okay. Very good. Would anyone like to make a motion to accept?
Move that we accept as amended.
Okay. Richard, anyone second?
I'll second.
Brandon seconds. And all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Very good. Done. Updates. Gary.
I don't really have anything tonight. It's a quiet month, August. People on vacation. Nothing grandiose to really report on. Our grants are secure. Both SHK and CPG. We're happy about that. So, in the next 2 years, those programs can go forward. So.
Excellent.
Happy about that. Yeah.
Very good. Any questions for Gary? Okay. Rich looks like he's still organizing back there. So, Anita?
Yes. A couple things I just wanted to bring attention to you. This is all in your packet, but the Green Neighbors newsletter is in your packet. And the Environmental Services is having a Pacific Park planting and cleanup, and that's going to be on September the 14th from 9 to 12. And we're looking for volunteers for that. If anybody would like to come and help, that would be great.
And where is that information? Is that, was that sent out?
I'm not sure if you have the same page, but it's on page 5 of my email. And it's got a picture of the site, so. Pacific Park Planning.
Page 5?
Yeah, but mine is probably a different
one. See the picture here.
Yeah.
I think that's the same picture, but. Different location, and it, is it under volunteer at Richfield?
Yeah, it's down past Richfield, and then there's a few other volunteer opportunities, and then there's a Pacific Park.
Oh, there's a back page.
Yeah, it should be on your page 6, the bottom of your page 6.
Thank you. Okay.
And then I went into, there's a copy of the news release in your packet, and I wanted to bring everybody's attention to that. First week of October, we always celebrate the Household Hazardous Waste Awareness Week. And so we'll be doing that in October, and then associated with that are several collection events, and they're scheduled there on the news release. So. We're having a Watt Foam and Electronics Collection event at Fisher's Landing. We'll be at the two hospitals with prescription and thermometer collection at Legacy and Southwest Medical. And then another Watt Foam at the Public Works Ops Center. And those are all in October in celebration of that. I think I sent everybody an email about the ribbon cutting for the compressed natural gas filling station in the yard waste trucks, so that's going to be a good event. I hope you can make it there.
There was a 2-hour time period, so when's the actual ribbon cutting, right?
Pretty quickly. It's just going to be, well, actually, I think maybe it's going to be a plug-in instead of a ribbon cutting.
Okay.
I'm not real sure about the logistics, but. I think that's it, actually.
Okay.
What's it for me?
Okay. Any questions for Anita?
You sent a separate email, Anita, for the river cutting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Send it to you,
If you could, please. I don't, for some reason,
you're
I didn't.
You're in, huh?
Huh, I didn't, yeah. Well, let me look again. I'm sure it's there.
Okay. Rich?
I've got handouts. And I apologize, I'm not double sided. You use the back side for scratch paper. Thank you.
Thank you.
So it looks like we've got a data heavy agenda, so I thought my report would just be data. So the first page, kind of like this, is the fall leaf program. So you can see at the bottom of that, there's an example of the fall leaf disposal coupon. So the program runs from October 1st through December 20th this year. And you can kind of see there where sites accept it. I thought it would be informational to provide sort of some history of what we've done over the last few, almost more than a dozen years in some cases. We don't have data for everything every year, but you can see the number of coupons given out are increasing, the volume of leaves is increasing, and the cost is increasing, as is the cost per coupon. The cost per yard has gone up a little bit, but really we're getting more leaves, they're costing more. So that's the leaf program, and again, that's a shared city-county program. City administers the program, but the county reimburses us for the portion of leaves that come from the county.
What is the cost? Do we have that information?
Per yard?
Yeah. Any?
The total cost is shown there on the. So we're about $68,000 last year for 2012 that we spent for leaves. If you go back to 2004, we're about $10,000. So the cost has gone up significantly. On the program.
Is
that the cost per unit?
That's the total cost of the program.
Total cost. Okay.
Yeah, for all of the leaves that people bring in their pickup. like Parks and Rec.
How many people?
But again, we're getting a lot more leaves.
How many?
The red graph.
So cost per yard. Oh, the cubic yard.
Yeah.
Cost. Do we have any breakdown cost per person? What this comes out to be?
You could look at the cost per coupon. So the number of coupons redeemed is the blue graph. Mm-hmm. Again, that's been increasing. The fall leaf coupons are fairly available. You can print those from our website. You can get them in your curbside recycling newsletter that comes out. I think neighborhoods all have them to distribute, so they get out in a variety of ways. People may leave them at the Minute Maid or something to pick up. So we don't know. Some people may bring in, you know, six loads of leaves. Other people may not bring any. So it's kind of used by people that have pickups or trailers and people that have a lot of leaves. Other folks will use curbside yard debris service. Other folks will have a landscaper that will haul them for them. And I think based on this, and we're looking maybe at least with our urban forestry folks, we're looking at maybe we should do a program that mirrors some other ones that have been done other places. One's called Love Them and Leaf Them. So the idea is you get a super mulcher and you mulch the leaves and leave them in the flower beds. Mm-hmm. But again, to do that, I mean, we're a little different climate than some places like in the Northeast that do that, where it's, you know, fairly dry leaves throughout most of the season. Ours are pretty wet.
So, Rich,
starting this evening.
My calculations show, you know, just kind of rounding up to 8,000 and such, that it's $8.50 per coupon.
That's about right. So looking down.
And so yeah. I'm just curious, because we never want to become complacent here. And in fact, because we're reviewing chapters and we always strive to be leaders within our state and forward thinking, have we looked at what is happening across the nation, especially in leafy states? You know, here we're blessed by pines, so I would like to think that leaves shouldn't be as much of a problem, but, you know, of course we know they are. And $8.50, I'm trying to think of what a composter costs when you buy those big, you know, if you would buy $68,000 worth of composters and required people to come to a program to learn how to come, you know, granted it's a whole different concept, but have we looked at comparables and evaluated that instead of just saying, okay, this is how many leaves we're keeping out and this is what it costs? What have we put into looking at different options?
This is only the one program. So there are those other programs I talked about, the curbside yard debris service, and there's mm-hmm. people doing backyard composting already. Mm-hmm. We have worked, I think, in the past to do some composters at cost programs, where we gave them the big earth machines or the mm-hmm. Seattle composter.
The earth machine, right.
And we the master composters do that, and we teach people how to recycle.
Right.
You know, how to. So everybody has a different style of what they need,
right?
And we haven't gone to mandatory anywhere yet in the county.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not. I don't even want to say that word. I would much rather, you know, change the behaviors, because, you know, again, if we're moving toward goals instead of just applying numbers to things, I would just like to know that we're moving towards educating some instead of just making it, you know, easy.
Yes.
It's part of, in my mind, some of the same problem with when we put recycling on, people think we're making money. When we just do this, it continues to be expected, and then, you know, we have to find ways how we're going to continue to fund that. And so I'm just thinking, you know, I'm not in the day-to-day aspects of educating the public on, you know, okay, how do we approach this, but I would just like to go on record saying, boy, I'd really love to see. I understand within the full gamut that this is only one portion, but I'd love to see a comparison of here's the whole big budget, and if we took all one big budget, we could do this, or if we...
And I might just add on this particular program, because it is for a very short duration, and for the county, the Public Works operation actually provides the funding for the leaf coupons. And the thinking behind that is that it gets them off the streets and out of the storm drains, and it saves them in terms of their maintenance and all of that. So we don't actually, the county solid waste doesn't actually fund the coupon program. It's the Public Works.
And stormwater and drainage is really a big part of doing this, to get those leaves out of the drain catchment systems. other communities, I'm thinking somewhere over across the river, they'll have like pickup, or they'll pick up your leaves in the street, I don't know, once or twice a month. And that's incredibly expensive. I mean, just the machinery to do that.
Well, I understand, and I can only speak from, and again, my experience is way years. I mean, it's like in the olden age now. Not that I'm that old, but I find you looking at
never
been
it.
But you know, in my day, when I was working on those things, we gave out earth machines, and the urgency at which people wanted those created excitement. It created the idea of why are we doing this? And sometimes, for publicity's sake and for other things, we can get an educational message out. And I'm not saying that is even anything we should consider. But and if Public Works pays for this, fine. But I'm just always interested in is, boy, you know, maybe we could do something.
Yeah, and we're always looking at all those options, and we keep moving them all along. And we have done. We have had the excitement. Probably 10, 15 years ago when we did the earth machine or composter cost thing. So we have been through that.
And actually the master composter recyclers do sell the composters at cost.
So, right.
And they can actually be pretty expensive.
Right.
So, and again, the purpose is we just wanted to show you what we look at and kind of say, you know, this is getting expensive. We are getting a lot of leaves. In the city, we're really trying to grow the canopy also. So it's one of those things.
Yeah.
The more canopy you have, the more leaves you have. So it's kind of like we need to kind of balance those. And I think if we can kind of encourage people to start looking more at mulching, and that's what we're doing at our parks. So we're not really collecting a whole lot of leaves from all the parks now. We're looking at how can we keep them, you know, keep
and this is over, you know, this runs for months, right?
October.
As opposed to when
December.
And I then suppose, I just for the conversation's sake, a discussion that we've looked at, what if we collected, okay, on one weekend of the month or you know, something like that?
We do have some of those programs that happen. Mm-hmm. And again, the coupon program really makes it convenient for the people that have a way to haul. And they really can haul them when it's good. If you remember how our winter, or sort of, I guess, our falls go, sometimes you'll have a period of nothing but rain and people won't be able to do their leaves, and then you get a clear weekend and everybody doesn't.
And so. We're lucky for the rain because that's another problem, burning.
Yeah.
But we don't have that problem here because of the rain.
Well, we don't burn either. I don't think we
burn. Well, right.
Burn
but,
ends, yeah.
But in other parts of the country, that's a huge problem. That's how people
get rid of their leaves.
It happens right on the street.
But it smells good.
Put them all out, and yeah, it's just like
I miss the smell.
But they probably don't need to do that anymore. It was in the good old days.
Okay. Well, thank you for bearing with me through that conversation.
Sure.
But it just. You know.
Any more questions on that sheet?
Yeah, a couple points. Not seeing the city broken out from the county, it's not a problem, but just a couple thoughts that I want to offer on that. One is thank you for making the point. We have a whole street tree planting program because we're trying to improve the canopy. So when you do that, at least half those leaves are going to go in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half are going to be in front of the house where somebody said they wanted a street tree. So the fact that this disposal occurs, very few people will clean up only their own yard. If it's right there in the street, they clean it up too. What we haven't factored in is what the cost savings is because we have reduced our street sweeping and our leaf program for the city, sweeping and backhoeing or whatever they do to get the big piles. So there is some cost savings involved there. And that's not factored in. And it's substantial because they have to be cleaned away from the drains. And so if people aren't voluntarily cleaning them, then otherwise, you know, you get street flooding and that sort of thing. The other thing is, I'm interested in how we figure cost. Because these aren't garbage. These are taken someplace and put in a compost either at, well, wherever they can go.
We're going to H&H, West Van and McFarland's.
Yes. So because of that, a reuse, when we're figuring cost, I think we should factor in the value of them not going to a landfill and not filling a landfill, and there is no disposal cost, and then somebody actually recovers money by mixing yard debris, although I have questions, as I've indicated in the past, about what all gets mixed in there. Because if you want an organic garden and you want to buy soil, and the grass has come in from a commercial operation where fungicide, herbicide, and every other side has been used, you don't know when you buy that sack of soil what the original source is and what contaminants there might be. That's something I think eventually across the country we're going to want to look at. The other thing is with mulching. It is a great idea unless you have any pest. And for example, codling moss. I have two pear trees and an apple tree. I would not want to mulch or grind up any of those leaves or any of that debris, because the codling moss larva reinstitutes itself. And really, even if I was selling that stuff or taking it to recycle, that's just furthering that pest. And those are very difficult to get rid of. And there are certain other pests that you can transmit. That, it's just a big circle of ongoing problems and then ongoing solutions. And I think all in all, there's a lot of progress being made. So we're getting a net gain. We're getting a net gain. That's the key factor.
And it's very complicated.
It is very complicated.
So that was the first one. So
oh, boy.
Your eyes are going to be swimming with data tonight. So the second page, this is a page that Miles Koontz prepares. So Miles Koontz works with the Department of Ecology, and he monitors the Washington Materials Management and Financing Authority and their whole privatized role in recycling electronics around the state. So he'll send this to us every month. So I figured it might be interesting to show you folks kind of what was recycled in terms of the CEP, covered electronic products, just during the last month or for the year to date. So you can see Clark County had 8% of the total statewide recovery of the year to date of electronics. So this is the data, and it's on the website. I'll give you a link to it on the next page. So that's kind of the raw data I kind of like, and said, let's interpret that a little bit so you guys can make some sense of it or so I can understand a little better. So the last page is sort of the summary I gave to kind of give sort of what the trends have been over the last 5 years since the program started, I think January of 2009. Remember, before that, we were doing CREAM and Empower Up, and that was really our way to get things going. And I think Clark County already didn't have the pent up demand for getting rid of electronics that a lot of the other parts of the state had. So anyhow, I graph. So you can kind of see, and the data is there, and there's a graph showing Clark County how we've increased the tonnage we have each year. And you can see that we've gone from 4.2% of the state's total electronics collected to this year so far we're at 8% of the electronics collected. In the graphs, I have gone ahead and projected out for the rest of the 2013. So that's a comparable year to year, but just assumes we get, you know, the next 4 months the same as what we've had in the last 8 months. So that kind of shows you where the state's gone. The state's kind of starting to fall off a little bit, it looks like. Clark County's kind of hadn't leveled off yet. The bottom pie chart kind of shows this program is all manufacturer paid based on the amount of electronic or CEPs, covered electronic products, that you put into the state. So you can kind of see there who some of the big, I'm not real sure if the colors all line up or not, but I should have set the labels next to the pie slice.
I love information, but you know, one of our goals here is to take this in the form of, you know, what this commission can do and to move forward with it. And so from your standpoint, from this information, you know, especially what is most near and dear to you, what would be your desire for us to be either of a mindset of thinking, because I realize there's no really recommendation make out of this, but what would that be?
You know, I think just an awareness that electronics are still out there. We haven't nearly gotten to where we're going to have all of them gone. A lot of the electronics have been recovered, I'd say, over the, you know, and we were just going through some of the files from, I think it was 2003 when we started like a big, at the fairgrounds, we had a big cleanup. So it's continued to grow. A lot of the material that has come in has been, and a lot of the heavy stuff, particularly is the monitors made out of leaded glass. In recent, there have been some reports of those filing up, you know, we send them to market and they end up in some warehouse someplace and there's an issue about it. Part of the issue is that nobody's buying that kind of monitor anymore. Now we're all using the flat panels that don't have the big tubes. So, I mean, that piece is probably gone, so we may see some of this tonnage come down, but I think we're still going to see more and more stuff come through. I did a little thing here. They just sent out a notice a month ago that now you can, one of the covered electronic products is these little DVD players. They were, everybody gave them out for Christmas, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And now people all have smartphones and pads, and they're not really getting these player things anymore. So, I mean, just the whole transition of where electronic equipment goes over time is going to end up changing the waste stream, what we have to deal with.
How can we respond very positively from this commission in that regard? In context of, you're very familiar because you come to our meetings often with our planning and with our recommendations, what would be something that would be good for us to consider? I mean, I see where the data is going and such, but I want to be really clear on, you know, we have some ability of making some recommendations or moving information forward, and what would you like to see?
Well, I think it's good to know that we're continuing to see the material, and household hazardous waste collections, a lot of those include electronics collections. And when we see those electronic collections fall off, maybe we look at it and say, oh, we're going down, maybe we don't do that anymore, maybe we reduce the frequency, and understand that the system is in place for folks to get rid of them. And I think you're on the Empower board, so you kind of know the importance of that side of the piece on the reuse, and we'd much rather see that happen than just recycling, because you've got so much embedded energy in making it, these materials, that you're much better off reusing them when you can, as opposed to recycling them. So I guess, I don't know if that really helps on the policy side you're looking at. I mean,
well, Rich has a question I'd like for him to.
I'm looking at the data, and this is in the little boxes, and you've got the word tons.
Uh-huh.
And then you got 2 million tons.
That should be pounds.
That should be pounds. It definitely, I would say, the average used 10 tons per person in the county.
Those are pounds.
Good catch.
I get used to thinking in tons, but when you talk electronics, it's always in pounds.
Okay.
Sometimes plastics the same way.
Can I say, when I was looking at it, I had a different thing in mind? My thing is, I'm never going to buy Sony, Dell, Philips, because they're the first to go.
Well, no, those are. That basically is their market share. So it shows those.
Really?
If I made the pie right there, and you check me out by going to this website.
Oh, shoot. I thought that was the pie of what's coming back.
what people are buying.
Oh, that's also interesting.
Yeah. And it goes down. I mean, I listed, I don't know, the top dozen or something. They're the good dozen, I guess, because people buy a lot of them. But there are some, I mean, there are like 100 or more manufacturers that are in there. Some of them
have
are locally, half a percent.
Some of these are more local than others.
Yeah.
Do we know for sure where it's going?
Yes. I put on here that in 2012, IMS, which is in Vancouver, down by the port, they got 17.7% of all the electronics in the state. So all of this is really well tracked by this WMMFA has all this tracking, and if you go to this website that I've listed up in the third line there, that you can see everything. There's like a 100-page report for 2012 on everything that got recycled, and it shows kind of what the split, where everything went.
But then, you know, they didn't get put on some boat for Southeast Asia.
Yeah, for the most part. And again, some of the components get shift to a market someplace. And so they try and do this whole process to track through where it goes. But IMS is local, so we kind of know what they're doing, and we know what they're doing with the products when we stop down there and look at them. The largest one, I think, is one up in Seattle, Ecolite's Total Reclaim, I think is their name. So they, I think, handle most of it there up in Seattle.
Does any of it get recycled or reused?
You know,
like for ladies that get kicked out of a home or have to leave and have nothing. Maybe they want a TV for the kids.
They provide computers to kids.
They do that.
And such, it is part of their mission.
And that's actually one of the downsides of the state program, is they don't emphasize
the reuse
of it.
Yeah, yeah, but certainly Empower Up does.
Does. And, you know, I guess, thank you for the opportunity to speak to that and for bringing that forward, because, you know, as I'm listening to all this, the data is really important, but unless this group knows what to do with that data, it's just as simple, it goes in and there's nothing we can do about it. Because we can make recommendations and such, maybe we should be encouraging. Empower Up certainly has been very successful because they are not so much a public funded anymore. They started out as a public-private partnership, and really they are pretty private now in their funding. And so it's a success story by the county, that the county had actually created. I think at one point the commissioners were too afraid to take any because they didn't know if it was really working or not. But, you know, Empower Up has really taken off. And, that was something that money was dedicated to, and we have made some positive stands based upon that data. But that is more of what I would like to see done with this kind of information. Not that your responsibility, Rich, is ours, but just for consideration of this group, that we certainly need to look at how we can make more of those types. Not that Empower Up would want any competition, but how we could better support that effort or have our legislators better support that effort so that we can fix some of that instead of feeding the garbage line.
Yep.
So can you, and if you already spoke to this and I have my mind elsewhere, I apologize. For Clark County in the chart, not the graph, but the chart, 2012 to 2013, the number of tons collected in Clark County, well, pounds, declined.
So that was for the year to date. So that's through August. That's only three quarters of a year.
I see, okay.
And then the graph, I've corrected that to show, I projected out the last 8 months to equate to 12 months. So the chart here kind of shows it going up, but that's assuming we get in the next 4 months the same volume per month as we have.
And that's a reasonable expectation. And I do think in a more modest financial market like Clark County, we probably haven't reached the peak of ridding ourselves of old equipment.
But I would just like to add to that comment, I don't think we'll ever reach the peak for electronics because the technology today is for it to be obsolete so quickly. It's always going to be a major waste component that we have to deal with.
But things are getting so much smaller.
Hopefully, yeah.
Like, you know, the old TV versus
the flat panel and
computers. You're going from the big old desktops to...
You're right about that part.
To a tablet.
Smart PCs are going to be gone.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A smart watch?
Yeah.
Smart watch.
Not so smart watch.
I swear.
Too much.
But a lot more devices. A lot more kinds of electronic devices.
Right.
So for anybody who still has left the great big old thick body TVs, or the great big old thick-bodied monitors, what is the proper disposal for those?
So those can, if they're still reusable, they can go to Empower Up. And then there's also...
Even those ugly,
burdensome? They probably wouldn't want it.
They might not want it. It's a big console thing.
You know, if it's the idea of, again, reuse, you have to think of what supports Empower Up. It's actually the reuse aspect. And if I would just speak as a member of Empower Up, the board, is that one of the greatest struggles is that many companies are, and Rem, you might be able to speak to this, one of the great fears, and hey, I'm going to send this down to the school district, is you want to make sure your data's on, that it's completely clear. And you know, we've had some great debates, even members on our board who have technology are fearful, and it has taken years for them to accept that that data is clean off of there. And so,
but don't they scrub those hard drives with something they download from like NSA or somebody? I mean, NSA isn't a totally bad word.
You're right. Yes, there are standards.
Because when I went to the recycle event, I talked to one of the chief guys at Empower Up, and I said that was my concern. I had an old computer, but I did not know how to scrub my hard drive, which had financial information. And he said they have a program they download that wipes it.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
And they wipe it more than once.
You can watch it. You can watch it happen. But we still have people who don't believe in who are storing. We have people who have the number of hard drives from the computer because they pull it out, and that's one of the most valuable pieces, and then they're willing to donate the rest. And so it's a constant struggle, and we need to overcome that in order to move forward.
And then for the state recycling program, if you go to agency, recycling agency, you can find the locations of all the participating sites in Washington, Clark County. And all of Goodwills are, I think the transfer stations are. So there's a number of them.
So Goodwills will take the big old TVs?
I believe they will under the state program because they get paid $10-15 or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting them there is on some of those big ones is the tough.
Right. So, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And a fun update. We've got, I don't know if you care, but Spurgeon Festival is at the Water Center. In 2 weeks.
Okay. Thank you, Rich.
We care. Yeah, okay.
We do love sturgeon. I mean, it's a beautiful. Well, they're not. It's beautiful. We still have it.
It's all connected.
That's right.
Okay. And Gary and Anita. It's the Gary and Anita Show on the update on closure decommission of Boise Cascade.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think you guys got the email that we sent out in the middle of the month about the consent decree that was executed. So that part's good. The company has obtained the performance bond, and the city of Vancouver is in, I guess, has reviewed that and has been accepted as the financial assurance. And then I think in your email there was a couple photos of the work that's going on. So if you have a chance to drive by, it's kind of interesting to see.
I don't know if you've been out there or driving Lower River Road. The port punched in a nice oil, about a half mile long road that goes north, dead ends, but it's right adjacent to.
Right. That's where these pictures were taken, actually.
And
it's right here, and you can see. You can go. It's like you're driving down the edge of the property, and so you're going to the back of the property, and you can actually see what you're doing.
Good, excellent.
The port put the road in.
Yeah.
Why?
The port, but it's on.
It's their port property.
It's
on port property, but it's running.
Oh, because they own the adjacent property.
Yeah, but it's running right along the property line.
They own part of the Rupner Farm.
Yes. Correct.
And I guess Gary has issued the deferral permit. And then you made the comment to me that they paid the back fees.
Yep, that was the final requirement.
Is that for the NPDS district?
No, that was for their solid waste permit fees that they hadn't paid since 2005.
Yes, that's right.
That was one of the conditions.
They caught those up.
Yeah. I think they're still working on the NPDS.
Yeah.
Issue.
Yeah, there's an issue that they let their original permit lapse, it's a pretty lengthy process.
Yes, but right now, in terms of the project work, they're not doing anything with the lagoon. Mm-hmm. They're just working solely on the landfill part.
Mm-hmm. What will it take now for that property to be sold and put to productive use?
Well,
does all the rest of the consent decree have to be sorted out and completed before that property is in a legal condition that it can be sold?
I think from a financial perspective, you know, that would have to happen anyway.
Yeah.
For their investment.
To have complete clear title to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
The consent decree deals mostly with the decommissioning of the landfill.
Yeah.
And the shoreline permit deals with both the landfill and the lagoon.
Yes.
I'm not real sure how high the entire property has to be brought up to grade or whatever the term would be.
I thought it was something like only a foot.
Yeah, I don't know.
So at some time we saw, who is it that makes those maps? The Army Corps of Engineers.
Oh, yeah.
Because they reassess a lot of that land just within the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
And move some of it completely out of the floodplain,
yeah.
Which means some of that which is left needs less fill.
Sure.
But I think the shoreline permit, the project defined under the shoreline permit is basically to bring it up to a condition where it can be developed.
I'm sure they'll want to match with what the port has already done,
yeah.
And because it's adjacent. That's what the port did. Looks pretty nice.
So one of the important things that I'm reading about is the port is also going to make a paved bicycle path and is ready to start that.
It looks like they already started at the end of that street.
They got a grant. Yeah. Now, I know the bicycle path business isn't this business, but the trucks use the garbage trucks use Lower River Road, and we have a bicycle path that's right adjacent. Is the county, the port is, for the length of the port property, going to make an improvement which takes the bicycles off 503 and moves them, you know, there will be a buffer between mm-hmm. the bike path, and that's a current ongoing project that the port is in the process of. Do we know if the county is going to extend that? Because they did a bike ride out there 2 weeks ago, and bicyclists, enthusiasts, and they invited people to go out and ride in it. I couldn't ride in it, but I drove the loop a couple times. And there are a couple places where the bikes go on 503, and they're just, it's not as wide as this table, the path the bikes go on, and the garbage trucks and the semis are going past. So it's, and where people are mostly going is out to the lowlands, out to the natural areas. So I don't know how to get that stuff on a faster track. But I think it's pretty important to separate.
Is that in
leisure.
The city of Vancouver?
Some of it is, some of it's in the county, some of it's on port proper mm-hmm. property, and so yeah. I don't know if there's a partnership going on, but I'll find out about that.
Okay.
And
I don't know.
We need to have the garbage trucks going to the transfer station. We need to have the semis going out there to the port facilities, but there's no reason to have that danger be unmitigated.
You sound like a good cheerleader for it, Jean.
I do, don't I? I'll see how that's all connected.
Okay, we'll stay tuned. Let's go ahead and are we done with the Boise Cascade?
Unless somebody has questions.
Okay.
I think the good news is it started.
I wish Mike Carnahan could be.
Or even Don.
Okay.
Do you send Mike, an update now and then?
I should.
That's a good idea.
I think
that's
it would.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you. Yeah.
And see if now he's had a sabbatical, if he could come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Moving on to Solid Waste Management Plan Update, Chapter 15, Waste Monitoring and Performance Measurement.
All right. I think I think everybody had a copy in their packet.
Mm-hmm. We want to take it page by page, and you want to walk us through?
I'm fine with however you would like to proceed. It's going to be talking about a lot of numbers.
Well, I guess, you know, in the interest of, you know, what we are expected to do here in this review, I've made some notes. And so I'll go ahead and I'll start on the first page, and then feel free to add in as others have questions as we've looked at this. I appreciated the introduction and the primary reasons for doing this. Of course, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that one of the reasons is for the benefit of, you know, the possibility of future economic development in regards to, you know, our waste monitoring and where things are going and anticipating, you know, future changes and needs within our waste stream and looking toward that. And so I was hoping there would be a way to maybe write that in.
Okay.
I also, you know, in thinking with our core of how we started with this, again, was reminded of, you know, we always strive to be leaders within the state, and that this is another reason for why we do this, other than the fact of just, you know, measuring and you know, collecting this stuff.
Right. And actually, I guess maybe I would just like to insert at this point that we should keep in mind that even though we're taking the chapters one at a time, they're all actually together, and so we kind of take it out of context by reading it, you know, like looking at them one at a time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is towards the end, and by the time you get to this, you've gone through the entire programs, mm-hmm. and I mean, this is how you're measuring and tracking basically everything else that we've said.
But that being said, you know, I'm just forever reminded that, you know, outside of us, this is not a widely read plan.
And we're trying to change that.
I know we are. And so I have to, you know, I have to say that, you know, when somebody pulls out and says, you know, why are we monitoring? What is this doing? Or if somebody were to come and to say, okay, I have a weight and I need, you know, this many pounds of leaves in order to start my business, we have to be able to provide the mechanism at which we could supply somebody. That's right. And so I think, yes, it may be a little duplication, but I think that we have to find the way to make this, you know, for use in a palatable form. And, you know, maybe it will be dead eventually on paper and it will exist in another form. But I want to make sure that we keep talking about that, because that is part of what we are always striving to do. Does anyone disagree with that strongly, or have other thoughts on the commission?
Well, I think that we have goals, and that, you know, that we want to have target points. I think that's good. I think it's important that the target points accomplish something, mm-hmm. but are still doable, are still achievable. And I'm looking at some of these rates that we think we should achieve, and I'd be so happy if it was true, but a couple of them I'm wondering if they're not overly optimistic.
Well, let's take it page by page. You know, and I know that we're not the first state to hit, though, even on the first page where it states 50%. Washington State has taken quite a bit of time to get there.
They've struggled.
Yes. And we have different problems.
Is it about 20 years?
Yes, we've had some different problems and challenges here. I made a note, and hearing what you said, Anita, on the first page about referencing diversion rate, because it's a commonly misunderstood concept, that maybe that should be referenced to see page 15-3 in regards to understanding. People get very confused between recycling and diversion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you know, once again, thinking if somebody opened this up.
Okay.
And
no, that's a good point.
Okay.
That we need to explain.
Okay. Anything else on page one, Jeannie? Did you want to talk about any of the other?
Just briefly. That's a good point about definition, making sure that the reader understands what diversion means.
Yeah.
So when we go down to a diversion rate, we're moving it from 65 to 70%. Are we confident that can be done?
Within 5 years, I think it's doable. A lot of it actually will depend upon, because the diversion rate is more of the recovery type materials.
Right.
And, you know, some of it depends upon the economy and then, you know, the construction industry and all of that. I guess when we came up with the target, our mindset was more of it's okay if it's a stretch goal and it's okay if we don't actually make it.
Understood.
But what's the goal for the state?
You know, they don't have a goal for this.
For diversion?
Yeah.
We're really leaders, Rich. I'm really proud of the work we do here.
Not that I've come across. I haven't seen a diversion goal.
But could I just say this, because having gone through this chapter and understanding that this is all within the whole framework, you know, when you look at something like this, you know, I can't help but the question just begs to be asked, how will we do this? And you know, what chapters should be reviewed in order to seek an answer, you know, other than just the constant counting of...
I think that takes me back to my first comment. It's all of our programs. I mean, this is a culmination.
I mean, are there some key aspects? And, yeah, okay, if it's a stretch goal, and, you know, I kind of go back to that if we don't put it down, if we don't put something, I think it's going to be... And I realize I'm saying something that, you know... We've looked at all these, and off the top of my head, I'm thinking, okay, wait a second, I'm struggling for what chapter would I go to off the top of my head?
Well, I think you'd go to all of them. You'd go to the sustainability one, you'd go to the recycling one, you'd go to waste prevention, you'd go to the organics chapter, you'd look at the waste stream analysis that was in, you know, referenced in this chapter. And I mean, I think it's our entire, this measures not only our program, mm-hmm. it measures, you know, like what commercial recycling is going on. It measures, you know, what kind of other recovery efforts are going on.
Well, and I hear the word measurement, but once again, coming from the private side of things, I'm looking at what will we do different if we keep doing the same things and we just think we're going to do them better, faster, or are we going to try to cooperate more with different entities? Can we cooperate more? I know we do this. We cooperate with the City of Vancouver. We cooperate with many of the small cities and towns, with businesses, with local organizations. How can we structure it so that we say, okay, so for our diversion rate, and we want to, you know, we want to have a target in a particular waste area. And
right.
One of my favorites is always with Gary. I want to say, okay, Gary, come on, let's do it. Let's create that. Let's put it out there. Let's dedicate.
I think what you're seeking is, and again, it's the culmination of the whole plan. But in one of the chapters, which we have yet to look at, is the implementation schedule, and that is basically taking all of the recommendations from all of the chapters and identifying when those would go, you know, would be implemented or if they're ongoing. And so I guess my answer to your question is that it's all of the recommendations from all of the chapters in the solid waste management.
So if that is the case, then let me just go backwards. If we were at 65 the last time we approved it,
mm-hmm.
what were we before we approved it, the 65?
You mean our diversion rate?
Yes. So did we make progress over the five-year span?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hang on. So 2008, our diversion rate was 52.6%.
Okay, and so we made it to the 60, we achieved the 65. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd like to come back and finish what my question is about the 70%.
Mm-hmm.
if we're talking diversion, we're talking downstream. In other words, we're talking what happens at the pad, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay, where else?
That's part of it. It's, it
consists on the floor is when I hear diversion, I'm thinking it's diversion out of the garbage on the floor where things are moved out of the waste stream.
And it's more of a, that's, it's more of a technical recycling versus diversion, because recycling implies that you're taking something and making a manufacturing a new product. Mm-hmm. Where diversion is, you're taking something and making you're not making it into something else, but you're taking it and it becomes a resource. And construction and demolition debris is a classic material.
Is the product of the action of diversion a noun?
Yes.
Thank you.
It would be.
It would be.
It would be a thing.
It's a thing. Okay.
It is a thing. And it can be pulled off the floor of the transfer station, or it could come in source separated.
Okay.
You know, for example, at the job sites, they actually have the dumpsters that, you know, just put in the recyclable material, and so it's source separated.
But does it even have to have? It doesn't even have to go to a.
And it doesn't even have.
I mean, there's highway where they grind it up.
Yeah. And that's true.
Take it to the processing plant and put it right back down on the road again.
And,
right,
and that's true.
And that's diversion.
But you understood my question.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and so it kind of comes back to the context of which, as you're reading this, and you're saying, how is this useful to me if I am an entity? And the very fact that I had to ask you to say, you know, what was the previous diversion rate? Not again that we want to have excess information in here, but to make sure things are in context to reference things.
But I think you need this so that the other chapters are meaningful and measurable.
I agree.
And if
agree.
You don't have it, then no, the other chapters are worthless.
I'm not dismissing that. I just, you know, reading through it, the very question of how would we get there? But if you say, okay, we were at 52%, we achieved 65%, 70%, doesn't hardly seem like a goal. Well,
but
the harder I know,
that was also the boom years.
But when you go ahead and start looking at the past year's data, you can start seeing those right. things. And the other thing on some of them, when you actually look at the detail on, you know, how much glass is going, and you can kind of see, well, there's still this material coming in, and maybe it can be used for something.
Right.
And this is where somebody, your point okay. is, you know, let's look at economic uses of it in the future. If you know where you've been and how you're coming on all of the different types of streams, but this is just saying how you're going to measure it, and it's not going to each little thing.
Right.
Each of the chapters.
Well, and I guess the bottom line is how do we know that this is something useful and beneficial other than just, you know, I recognize that there's a lot more than just assembling numbers, but I want to make sure that we're moving in a way that moves us towards, you know, we should always be working our way. I'll say this. I used to say this when I worked in that sector. I'm working my way out of a job. That's what I'm my goal is I'm working my way out of a job toward a waste-free society. And you know, and if we're going toward that way, then nobody can be against us. Yeah, absolutely nobody.
Well,
could you imagine saying that in the legislature? You're working right out of a job. You're going
to die. I might say we should be striving to reduce, but to if we're ever going to totally eliminate, I don't know. But that goal, to have that goal, it's based on our definition of what we're talking about. 70% doesn't sound like an unreasonable goal. So
it is probably a stretch goal, but I think
it's
you need a stretch goal. And if you get 69, that's still a success because you were at 65. You didn't maybe exceed your goal, but you improved.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. All right. Can we move on to page 2? My only note was, you know, like, again, how is this accomplished? I know But, you know, it begs the question for me, and it is not appropriate to give the whole explanation, but to me that is just a comment in regards to, you know, assessing where we are.
Oh.
Okay. So just
reducing the per person landfill volumes. Some of that will have to do with modified packaging and some other things, will it not?
Mm-hmm.
Which we're working on through all of these kind of solid waste organizations to reduce unnecessary packaging, to stock stuff on a grocery shelf, to, you know, all the various influences that we're attempting to have. Can help that goal be successful as well, correct?
Correct.
The legislature, maybe.
Well, and just awareness.
The variation of per person per day, this is way lower than what the EPA standards are.
The what?
EPA has a much higher percentage.
But this is reduced by 5%. So it's...
Do we state what the per person is? No, we don't have that. But I know it's somewhere in our plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it is in
it's gone
the
up.
Table.
You know, it's gone up through the years. I know that. And so the way we reduce is different than what it was 10 years ago. Okay. What else? I did not have many comments beyond. Jamie, do you have more? No. Brandon, any comments? Nothing.
You know? Shocking.
Anita?
No?
You know, I think it's really good discussion, and it brings it to the heart of the matter of where we, you know, this is another one.
And I do like the historical.
Mm-hmm. I do too, but I am kind of amazed by myself that, you know, I've read through this three times, and I'm still Richard
finding.
Was pointing things out, like, oh yeah, it is, it's there. There is something sometimes difficult about these, and, you know, maybe if we could ever, you know, maybe in another 5 years we'll find out.
Well, and actually, from a visual perspective, we're trying to reformat the way it's laid out and the way it looks. I mean, we're not going to change the words or anything, but change the look of it. So maybe that might help too in terms of just the way it's presented. I guess it's.
So I'm just curious. You know, Rem, you've been a little quiet here. In regards to waste monitoring and performance, and is there any impact on the private side from looking at usage within buildings, within as you're working toward that, or any, I recognize, you know, you're working across numerous states, really,
mm-hmm.
that you're seeing any impact on the business side or any incentive on their part to support the efforts of what's happening here, that there should be some correlation between. Do you understand what I'm saying?
In my industry, in our industry, so much of this removal is handled by the contractors through the lead process, and so we really don't have a lot of involvement. I can certainly check into it and see how much of this gets pulled back into the residential side of it, but this is all kind of new to me as part of this. It's interesting. My only question I had was about the diversion rate. It was explaining how that works, and that makes sense to me now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a nebulous. It's a nebulous thing until you get down and hear all the numbers, and then it's.
Yeah, and it actually is something that comes up a lot, and I should be better at
well, you know, we meet once a month, Anita, and, you know.
It comes up a lot. I mean, it's frequently asked, and I was like, what's the difference? Because because it's two numbers that we put out a lot. And,
in looking at these charts of historical data with total waste generation pounds per household per month, I'm looking at these saying, job well done. We can keep working on it, but as I don't see a single chart in here that there isn't substantial progress. There are a few categories that need more work that were clear, but for the most part, the basic trend is very encouraging.
I agree.
And it isn't us, by us, I mean it isn't the jurisdictions that handle the garbage or the garbage hauler dictating anything. It is changing habits in a way that reduces the wastefulness in society. And I just think it's good.
And you can definitely see, especially on like table 15.3, you can definitely see the economic impact that had on the waste stream. I mean, it's really...
And the work isn't done. We're never going to let up. There's a lot of progress been made.
Okay. Can you do anything with the comments here tonight for this chapter?
Sure. I mean, I made a couple of notes. I think it would be good in particular for you to look at the recommendations, obviously, because that takes us back to that's what we're going to be basing a lot of our actions and programs on, is the recommendations that come on the plan.
Okay. All right, very good. Any last thoughts on this or takeaways?
I just might add, looking at this chapter, when we sent out the agenda, we had copies of the waste stream analysis and our data report, which are really the backup documents for this chapter. I don't know. I mean, we've gone through these reports in meetings. We can go through them again, or if you have questions about any particular parts of them, we can do that. We didn't bring hard copies, but we have them on the computer if you want.
And I think, you know, if there were some form of, you know, I do want to stay true to, you know, what our guiding principles are here, and I was just actually thinking, because I know there's a celebration in Bill Barron's departure and such. And, you know, one of his, I think he was very instrumental over the last year in, you know, how we came through the process of looking at what we're doing. And one of his suggestions to me was that, you know, to really review, you know, and keep in front of, you know, what are our guiding principles and what is our purpose. You know, and hopefully, Brandon, I'm hoping within the next year that, you know, you can continue to help us that, you know, the intention of the state in having this commission, you know, we all laugh and joke about we have nothing better to do on a Thursday night, but, sure. You know, we know that's not true, and time is very valuable among all the people here. So, you know, I would just encourage everybody to always take a look at those. It's on every single one of our agendas for what our purpose and structure is and what we're striving to do, and that, you know, we are a recommending body, and although we don't get that opportunity all the time, we are always encouraged, and I know we don't hear it because commissioners have other things to do, but I know that they do want to hear, and we need to be careful, you know, because, you know, it needs to be of the group. We are commissioned together, but those are important things, because at the very levels of what this group brings together, it's a very valuable asset to the county. That the county can get the perspective beyond employees from the city, from various sectors, the public, private, the government sector, And that's what we bring. And so please remember that besides the groups that, you know, that you are representing on here. So with that...
Well, we just have another...
I just have one quick question. I'm sorry, back on...
go ahead.
On table 15-4, what is SF material?
Single family.
Single family.
Thank you. That's a good comment.
That's a very good comment.
We also get into our abbreviations.
So, Lisa, before we go, can we load those pictures?
Yeah, we can do that. And before we go, there was another appendix that we were going to...
pictures of the solid waste staff at the recycled arch there. Oh, okay. It's
just four or five pictures.
I went early on that, and there were still tons of people.
And I went Sunday afternoon, it was like 100 degrees. They were all still there. They worked until 5 o'clock, right into the end.
Yeah, no, I was there an hour before it was supposed to open, and everybody was
people loved
active,
it.
And people were open for business on some of them.
Yeah.
But this is, we're going to start with kind of going through the appendix areas now, and so we don't really have to talk about this one a whole lot. This one is the one that we have in the plan that kind of tracks our program and major milestones of the program. And then the red is the items that I added recently just to bring it up today.
That's a gentleman that works for City Public Works, but he makes water fountains, and I think the sun is glimmering off the brass on the top, but he makes these barrels, and there you can put a planter over them or whatever. It's an interesting idea. His booth was collecting a lot of interest. And sadly, he was there with his dad. Mm-hmm. And his dad kept saying he didn't want to be in the picture. But I think it would have been so nice to have a picture of he and his dad together in there. So his dad declined, but it would have been great.
And his dad has a bunch of work in there, too. It's the first time his dad's really showed his artwork.
This was 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon on Sunday. It was 100 degrees, maybe 95, and the humidity was so high. I was so proud of the employees who were there until the last minute in that sticky heat, doing their job, making sure this thing happened.
And I would just add to this, because obviously Sally Fisher is our project lead, but Sabra is like the linchpin of the whole festival. I mean, she does a lot of hard work, and it wouldn't go nearly as smoothly as she would.
That was the watershed steward, and I think that's who that was.
Yes, that's the back.
And they had an excellent display there. Yeah. But I don't know that person's name, apologize for that. It was an example of one of the most
This is a great picture.
Isn't that the greatest picture?
Can I copy these pictures?
Absolutely. Those are for you. I wanted to put them on my Facebook, but...
That's a great picture.
That's a wonderful picture.
Oh, and maybe for the folks that don't know, this is Jim Mansfield on our staff. This is Sally Fisher, who's the project lead, and Pete Dubois.
And that is a picture of the dumpster that was an example of the material that went on the floor of the transfer station and was pulled out, or came in a trailer and was pulled out before it hit the floor. That is a tiny example of
what... It was huge.
It was huge, and I want to tell you, I could tell there'd been a domestic matter when I saw a whole set of ping golf clubs. I've been the whole set of ping was there.
Were they bent or were they?
No.
Just one of them.
My guess is she just threw them in the garbage. Mm. And but they were going to go to the Humane Society resale store. I wanted to buy them there, but they said I'd have to go to the other place.
Yeah. Actually, and this year they did the display in the garden in the dumpsters, which I thought was
it made a wonderful point. And there, this booth, people coming in there and looking and seeing, it does, Richard, give the whole point of not wasting. These are useful things. I didn't see anything there I wouldn't like to have.
Right.
And that's how people felt. Gee, this is good stuff. What a waste.
Right.
Thank God it got pulled. Thank God it got reused.
Right. But this is just a drop of what doesn't get pulled. I mean, this just gets pulled for this display, you know?
It was pulled only in a brief period of time, like in a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In Germany, twice a year they had what they called junk days. And people would put out their things on the street, and people would go around and take them if they wanted to.
Oh, that's a great
thing. And we had a construction office, and we went around and we ended up with 8 refrigerators because we needed refrigerators in the U.S. Army construction offices. And we actually, in one night, 3 of us got 8 refrigerators put in our office.
That's a great concept.
But it really was. And it was just, and people would be, you know, there were some really, really great antiques. You know, a young couple, their parents or their grandparents had this beautiful shrunks or things, wood furniture that was absolutely beautiful and old, and they put it on the street because
of my neighbors have said, I have one neighbor that they couldn't dispose, that they were going to donate a grill or something, it wouldn't fit in the wife's vehicle.
Exactly.
And so they put it out on Craigslist free at the end of the it was gone in an hour.
Right.
You know, yeah, we missed the boat.
It's amazing.
But here you had whole sections of the town would have it, and so people would go out and be looking for things.
And I can't read what's on the shirts. They were in that booth too.
Well, they're in the Recycle Arts Festival shirts. But this is Tara Heilman, who works for Waste Connections. Greg Hayward, who works for Waste Connections, and I'm not sure who this person is.
Yeah, I think that was all Waste Connection staff. Mm-hmm.
They ran the Costa Sound booth for
I thought that was a nice picture.
Yeah. Main Society.
Is that Cheryl? Was that Cheryl? I can't see. Can't tell.
I'm not
those sure. Glasses, I can't tell.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Does that count for recycling? Puppies.
And in a way, we're recycling puppies. I'm going to copy these two. If you're okay with that.
That is true. Good. You're a photographer too.
Good subjects.
Yes.
If you're excited about what you see, it's easier to take a good picture of it.
Yeah. And it was a really great event for us this year.
It was amazing.
I can't remember the numbers exactly. I think it was
25,000,
I think, was the attendance. And if you think about, I mean, it seems like a lot of work and a lot of money, but when you think about 25,000 people showing up in 2 days, it's like that.
And they all got the message that
this
was made from things that were thrown away or could have used to be thrown away.
That's why we're going to get the 70%.
Yeah.
So a final point that I'd like to make about the end of that fair was county staff. At the end of the fair, the people who had booths are bringing vehicles in. There's pedestrians all over. Vehicles are backing up because by the end of that fair, people were ready to get out of there and go home and have their lives back. The county staff used the most watchful eye and assisted vehicles that were backing up, helped keep pedestrians out of the way. There were still a lot of little children. And that to be at the end of that many day event in that heat and to conscientiously be so concerned about the safety and cleanup of everything, I mean, it's just heartwarming. Well, to see the people that work hard and do that good job.
And they were doing the garbage.
Right to the end.
Did you want to go over this, or you wanted this is for a point of context for us?
Well, and if people have comments, if you'd like to talk about it, we can certainly do that. Or
I think this is the first I've seen of this, and I'd really like to maybe take this and
sure.
We take a look at it and we can review it again. With that, is there any other business that we need to bring forward tonight, folks? Okay. Any comments
from the public? From the
public. Yeah, put on your public hat. Any comments? Okay. I really appreciate everybody's effort here tonight, and we will see you again in October.
Meeting adjourned.
We broke another record.
Is this a new iPhone?
No, it's the.